Abropod's Gontag, coming at you live. February 5th, 2022. Just one bro today. Scott doing a special pod here. Todd and I just couldn't sync up on times this week. So I'm just flying solo. Still wanted to get up some content for everybody. Obviously been a pretty busy week for me personally, but that has nothing to do with why Todd and I couldn't figure out a date or time to connect to record. It's very bizarre. It has happened before, but I know that we're on a streak of more than 2 years of having some sort of content up every week. So in order to continue that, I wanted to just get on and speak with you guys briefly, just let you know what's going on. It was a big week, again, for me, obviously, because as we all know, this is Duke Carolina week. Duke Carolina basketball is the biggest, most important, most storied, not maybe historically. I mean, they've met 256 times, but there may be other teams, other sports, whatever, that have more head-to-head meetings than that. But just in terms of the high quality of action, the high quality of basketball that is played when Duke Carolina meet up, it's unrivaled. Most times, not all the time, but most times, at least in the past, you know, several decades, one of those two teams is ranked. One of those two teams is a top contender for national championship. Almost always one of those two teams is a contender for the ACC championship. And so Duke Carolina is a rivalry that just, it goes beyond just the game. It's really, it's just more than that. It's huge. And I know those that don't know me very well are like, but Scott, you grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. You went to Clemson. What do you care about the Duke Carolina rivalry? Well, most of you know my age, at least roughly my age. And whether you do or not, I was a huge Bobby Hurley fan. Bobby Hurley, a Duke guard between either 89 or 90 and 93, I believe. I guess it was 90 to 93. Played basketball at Duke. He was one of my heroes growing up. I was always a Magic Johnson fan, but Hurley literally kind of looked like me. Short, tiny, white guy who played at a super high level. I actually made it to the NBA, played a few seasons before he had an unfortunate car accident, which kind of derailed his career. But so I grew up a Bobby Hurley fan, and therefore I was a Duke fan. Like, it was just, it coincided well with their run of success. I'm not going to lie about that. You know, Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, all those guys. But I just became a Duke fan. And look, Duke is, from a college basketball perspective, a very polarizing team. You either like Duke or you hate Duke. You either like Coach K or you hate Coach K. I just happen to like him. I didn't know much about Coach K. I didn't care. I was 10 years old. But, you know, I just fell in love with him. I fell in love with the team. The mascot was always a little creepy to me, but who cares? The team was there. The team was successful. And from that point forward, from the late 80s to present day, there have only been a couple seasons where the team has not been quite successful. You know, in that time frame, in those 30-plus years, there's been 5 national championships, countless ACC championships, both regular season and tournament, countless Player of the Year awards. I know I did a podcast a couple of years ago, I guess it was, with my buddy Kurt Keith, who lives in the Columbia area, just outside Columbia, and he's a huge Duke fan as well. And we did kind of our top five, like our starting five, if you will, and then a bench player, I think we did. And you know, that's the sort of success this team has, is that those sorts of conversations are fun to have, and you might come up with different answers. I mean, there are certain players, you know, you got to have Laettner in your starting five. I'm pretty sure I had Hurley as well, but you have to have Laettner. But, you know, do you put Zion Williamson in there? He was only there a year. Do you put a lot of their recent successful players, Brandon Ingram, Jason Tatum, that were just there a year, on that Mount Rushmore of Duke players? I don't know that you do. You know, I could argue that you would put Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and Grant Hill, who all three played on the same team. They graduated a year or two apart between the three of them, but who all played on the same team. on that Mount Rushmore, on that list of top five. So, and countless other players. I'm obviously not naming a bunch of people. Shane Battier, Elton Brand. And again, some of these guys are maybe not household names because they didn't have huge NBA careers, but they were incredible college basketball players. And you find that that's true in a lot of college sports. Like, you can be a great college football quarterback and not translate to the NFL. You can be a great college basketball player and not necessarily make it to the NBA. That's less and less common now, because college basketball's best players are just guys that are walking through on their way to the NBA. They're checking that box, getting that 1 year of eligibility out of the way. But anyway, so I'm getting off topic here. But tonight was game one of two of the season for Duke versus UNC. Now, I'm happy to report, as a Duke fan, that Duke in the Dean Dome at Carolina's campus walked away victorious. 87-67 was the final score. It wasn't even that close, honestly. Like, towards the end of the first half, UNC came back a little bit, but right out of the gate, Duke was on fire. Their shooting percentage, like, I think halfway through the first half was 85% or something. It was just unheard of. And UNC was cold. And it's one of those things where maybe if the game had not started like that, it could have been more competitive, but they got so far behind. Like I said, they made a run right towards the end of the first half. I think they went into halftime down 10 or 11. But then Duke came back out first 3 minutes of second half and with a 10-0 run. So yet again, they were up 20. And it was just never really super competitive. So that was obviously good to see. But again, this is a rivalry that has been, you know, going on for so long. I mean, just in the time that Coach K has been at Duke, again, Coach K, a very polarizing figure in the national sports conversation. And by the way, somebody asked me, like, not that long ago, hey, how long has Coach K been coaching there? It seems like forever. He actually started there around, I think, the season after I was born. I was born in the summer. I think he started that season. So it's really easy to remember. How long has Coach K been there? I just quote my age. But he's been there a long time. He's been there 4 decades plus. He's been through, I'm pretty sure when he started, Dean Smith was still the coach at UNC. And then later you had, what was the guy named? Rutledge, I think was his name. You had Matt, the young-looking guy with the slick back hair. Bill Rutledge, I believe, was the coach. You certainly had Roy Williams for a number of years in that rivalry, and then now you have Hubert Davis. But they're saying on the broadcast tonight, Coach K has only faced 5 different coaches at UNC. So as impressive as Coach K's tenure at Duke is, UNC doesn't really flip-flop coaches all that often either. You know, nowadays in college sports, you make it 4 or 5 years as a head coach in any sort of national program, you've achieved something. But again, both of these programs, just really high quality. As much as I hate UNC because of the rivalry, I will give them credit. They're obviously a good program. They're able to get good players. They're able to recruit well and that sort of thing. So it's not a surprise that this rivalry goes on and on and on every year. Duke and UNC always play a home and home. Every ACC season, they oftentimes will meet in the ACC tournament, particularly in the finals, again, historically. And then occasionally, though very rarely, they will meet in the NCAA tournament at some point. That happens far less frequently than them meeting in the ACC tournament, but it still does happen from time to time. So yeah, big week. Their second matchup of the year will be at Cameron, and it'll be Coach K's last regular season game that he's coaching because this is his final year, which is another reason I wanted to kind of bring that up and talk about it tonight is, you know, the legacy. I'm not going to go too in-depth with it, not doing a deep dive, did no research for this. This is off the cuff. Again, just wanted to get up some content for you guys, you content-starved listeners out there. But, you know, 42 seasons at Duke, and he's finally hanging up. He's doing a curtain call. You know, a lot of places that he's playing, there's scheduled games, as a lot of athletes will do if they have announced at the beginning of the season they're retiring. They'll get, like, going away gifts, you know. I know Kobe did that sort of tour. Dwayne Wade did that sort of tour. And they'll get rocking chairs and things like this. Like, you know, all right, old man, get out of, you know, let the young guys come up. And Coach K has been getting that. He apparently did not get anything at UNC. Just because it's such a rivalry, they wanted to make sure that intensity was there. But I don't think it's due to a lack of respect. I think they'll probably ultimately provide him but with some sort of parting gift, because he's had, you know, the coach of Duke for 40 plus years has had a giant impact on the UNC program. I mean, think about recruiting, right? You think about recruiting for football in the ACC, for example. Clemson's success in the last 10 years is helping all these other schools in the ACC get better players, because it's like, maybe you can't make the Clemson team. Maybe Clemson turned you down for a scholarship. Come join us at Louisville, at Miami, at Florida State, at Boston College, Wake Forest, NC State, whatever it is. We, Duke, UNC, we will afford you the opportunity to play against Clemson on a national stage, perhaps, you know, depending on what team we're talking about. And so same thing with Duke. You know, UNC is able to, and the rest of the ACC are able to recruit better players, higher caliber, higher quality players, because they know they have the opportunity to play against Duke, against a Coach K coached team, and get that sort of national exposure. And if you have a good game, win, lose, or draw, if you have a good game against Duke, even more exposure, you know, if you're one of the star players. So, so again, just kind of touching on Coach K, the impact that he has had on not only that team, not only this rivalry, but the whole league in his ability to bring players in. And again, I mentioned how polarizing a figure he is. You know, I love Duke. I have several friends who are huge Duke fans. I have several friends who absolutely hate Duke. I don't really have any friends who are right down the middle and kind of laissez-faire, don't care about Duke. And again, that too is a good thing. And it's not, you know, there are some personalities, some athletes, whatever, where they're polarizing because they have a very distinctive personality or attitude. Antonio Brown, for example, or Terrell Owens come to mind. Like, you know, super flashy kind of assholes, or really, you know, jawing on the field sort of a thing. You either love that competitiveness or you hate it. Coach K, you know, look, I'm sure UNC fans or people that don't like Coach K would describe him about say differently, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's just a great coach, and you hate the success of it. You don't hate the way he goes about it, because, you know, when you see videos of practices or clips of practices or whatever, it's like, all right, I'm sure he coaches in the same way that every other coach across the nation coaches. He's a very well-paid figure. He's by far, I'm pretty sure, by far the highest paid employee of Duke University, right? But by the same token, he donates a whole bunch of time and money to charities. And I'm not saying other coaches don't do that. I think most of them do. But so it's not like he's a bad person, as far as we know. He's so successful. And if you're a fan of UNC, or if you're a fan of any other team in the ACC that continually gets beat down by Duke every year, I could see where you might dislike Coach K. And that's, again, that's why he's a polarizing figure, for those reasons and many others. So anyway, so that game was tonight, several hours ago now, as I'm recording this. As I mentioned, the final game of the year, final regular season game of the year for Duke, which is typically in early March, first weekend of March or so, will be against UNC in Coach K's house, as they call it, in the Mecca, in Durham on Duke's campus. And yeah, and that'll be it. That'll put a bow on his career in Cameron Indoor. So Cameron Indoor is an interesting place. I did, thankfully, have the opportunity to go there. This is 3 or 4 years ago. I had a work trip to that area. I was in Raleigh visiting one of the vendors that I was working with at the time, and I was able to pick up a ticket on StubHub. Unfortunately, it was one of those games. I think Duke was playing like Elon or something, but it was a season with not RJ Barrett. Who was the guy? Maybe that was the Brandon Ingram season. Maybe it was the Tatum season. It was 3 or 4 years ago, as I mentioned. It was the... Now I can't remember, and now it's going to drive me crazy. I'm trying to think who the players were on the team. Was it the Tatum season? Maybe it was the Tatum season. There was the other guy, Harry Giles. It was the year Harry Giles was there. I think it was maybe 2018. So like Grayson Allen had gone. Jason Tatum, Luke Kennard, all those guys were gone. But anyway, point is, it was a they're playing someone like Elon. I think it was like East Tennessee State, I think is who they played. And it wasn't close really at all at the end of the day. But like at halftime, Duke was up like a point. They played like crap, I guess is the point I'm making. They didn't play well at all. But still wildly entertaining. I got there like an hour and a half early. I walked around. They have a big shop. I mean, Duke's been sponsored by Nike for a number of years because of Coach K's success. That's another thing. He brought a lot of money into the school, certainly, and into the program. But so they have this giant store where they sell everything Nike, everything Duke. I bought a couple things. I bought a hat, something else. And then when you go into Cameron, it truly is, and everyone says this, but it's truly like a glorified high school gym. It's like a very large high school gym, which is crazy. You see these gigantic stadiums and arenas that these college teams play in. Syracuse comes to mind. Syracuse plays in the same arena where their football team plays. So it's just huge, like 25,000 seats or whatever. Cameron holds less than 10,000 people. Like it's just a super, super quaint environment and place to hold these games. And so as a result, like when you walk in there, you really do feel like you're at a high school gym. But anyway, walking around the kind of the concourse of the stadium, they had a like a museum where you could walk through and see, you know, pictures and memorabilia from players of the past. And that was really cool. It was just cool. It's one of those things that it was the year they got his hip surgery. Now I think about it, because he was there. Coach K was coaching the game, but he kind of was hobbling around when he was coming in and out of the players, and him were coming in and out of the concourse. But anyway, but it was really cool just to reminisce, I guess, looking at all those old pictures. And I did a full lap of Cameron. Afterwards, I kind of walked around campus, which I probably shouldn't have. It was in December. It was right around Christmas time. It was super cold. It was a really stupid idea. But I'd never really been to Duke's campus. I was just talking about this recently. I actually applied to Duke because I loved Duke so much as a kid, just to see if I could get in. I got accepted, but I didn't get any money, so I didn't go. Plus, I really had no reason to go there. Like, they didn't have the major I was looking for. I mean, I'm sure they had it, but they weren't known for what I was looking to major in. So so I didn't go there. But it was cool to walk around and see the campus. And again, obviously, you know, all of Krzyzewskiville, as they call it, just that whole area, you know, the students camping out. Although I don't think they were there at that time, because again, it was right before winter break started, or maybe winter break had already started, which is why I, as a John Q citizen, was able to get a ticket to it. But anyway, so it's one of those things, much like Lakers basketball, much like the Braves in baseball when I was younger, at least, and now more recently, the past 10 to 15 years, Clemson football is a part of your life. Like, you just, it's interesting though, I mentioned those things. Duke basketball is the only one, well, Lakers basketball too, but Duke basketball is the only one that's really kept my interest the entire time. I mean, 30 plus years I've been a Duke basketball fan. Again, I'm a Braves fan. I was happy they won the World Series this year. I was not a Clemson fan even when I was there as a student, Clemson football, even a few years after, but then I kind of got into it, and now I'm a big Clemson football fan. So the longest running one, and the Lakers, I kind of care less and less about. Once Kobe retired, I was kind of checked out, and then once they signed LeBron, well, you guys listen to the pod know how I feel about LeBron. So I'm not going to go into that, but so it was just cool to be there. It was cool to follow, not to follow. It was cool to walk around the Duke campus in that area, and it's the Duke UNC thing is just, it's a rivalry that, you know, everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen when Coach K leaves. John Shire is going to take over as coach. Is the magic still going to be there? I mean, they've already got an amazing recruiting class coming in. But I feel like if John Shire, let's say he stumbles in two of his first 5 years, let's say, are not fantastic, will Duke be the powerhouse that it has been under Coach K for all this time? I don't see why it wouldn't, but it's just, you know, navigating college basketball landscape nowadays is totally different than it used to be. It's a lot tougher. You've got to use the transfer portal to get seasoned veterans in from other teams. You know, Duke did that this year with Theo John. John's his last name. I'm pretty sure Theo's his first name. Who came over from Marquette. He's a guy with experience. He comes off the bench for the most part, but he's a quality player. He's a big dude. He, you know, He pounds down low, that sort of thing. So you got to be able to use transfer portal. You've got to be able to understand these guys. And for a long time, Duke was not that sort of place. I believe it was Corey Maggette in 1999 that was the first player to come in and leave after his freshman year. That didn't happen. People played at least three and almost always their full 4 years. And they did this well beyond when other people were going in, playing a year or two and leaving. Or, you know, the Kevin Garnett's, Kobe Bryant's of the world, skipping college altogether and just going straight to the NBA. So it's always been kind of a more traditional program in that way, that they discourage that sort of behavior. Not that it's bad behavior, but you know what I'm saying. They discourage people from just taking the one run at it and leaving. And that's, I think that's a good thing. You know, it makes the program more pure, for lack of a better term. And maybe that's one of the things that I like about it. I don't know. I never really stopped and thought about it. I just know that I've always loved Duke basketball. I always will. And that's the interesting thing. People ask me that too. Well, Scott, do you love any other Duke sports? Nah, I could care less. Particularly if Clemson's playing Duke in football, I'm obviously cheering for Clemson. You know, baseball, I don't care. I don't care about anything else except Duke basketball. So someone says, are you a Duke fan? A, I assume they're talking about basketball, so I say yes. And B, if they inquire further, I say no. I'm not an overall Duke sports fan because I just don't care. I just want them to do well in the old basketball arena. So anyway, just wanted to give everybody that update. I know that's what everyone was wanting to know. Once they read the title of this episode, they wanted to see what was going on with the Duke basketball situation. They did win 87-67. I think at the high point, they were up 25 or 27 points. Ended up winning by 20. We'll take it. AJ Griffin continuing to have an incredible season. I think he finished with 25 points. Paolo Banchero had a good game as well. Mark Williams, not his best game necessarily, but still played solid defense, had at least a pair of blocks, if not three or four. And the rest of the guys were, you know, solid. They did their part. They played their roles. You know, Wendell Moore had another sneaky, quiet game, meaning it's not filling up a stat sheet, but he certainly helped the team. He led the team to the victory, which that's what you want your team captain to do. So I'm excited about that. Excited to see where the team's going to finish this year. We're currently 16-3, 17-3. We only have three losses. I know that much. And only two of them are in conference. But now we're atop the ACC. Whoever won this game tonight was going to be atop the ACC because Miami lost earlier today to Notre Dame. So now Duke stands alone on top of the ACC. But second, third place, there's like seven teams vying for second, third place, all within a game or two of each other. So it will be interesting. It'll be an interesting season, interesting tournament. Hopefully they play the tournament, for crying out loud. And hopefully there are no COVID outbreaks or anything that screw up the tournament, say for Duke, as happened in the past, like last year. So we shall wait and see. But yeah, just wanted to come on and talk to you guys about that. Also, the other main reason I'm talking to you about this tonight when it's just me is because Todd hates college basketball, which I will never understand. So he would not even want to be talking about this because he's foolish and doesn't understand how good and entertaining a sport it is. But now he doesn't even watch NBA, so I don't know what he's watching anymore. Just Netflix, I suppose. But anyway, hope you guys watched the game. If you didn't, spoiler alert. Probably a little late on that, but there you go. But yeah, that's it. Just wanted to quick pop on, talk to you guys briefly. Might do more of these in the future just for shits and giggles. It's kind of fun, especially if I have something on my mind. So stay tuned for that. But this was kind of the offering this week. So again, sorry about that. Todd and I just couldn't hook up, but still wanted to give you guys something to listen to. So hopefully this is entertaining. And if not, join us next week when Todd and I will be back and we'll do a normal show, I suppose, unless something else comes up. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, happy Friday. Happy Saturday. Happy February. This is what my mouth is trying to get me to say. Happy February, everybody. Again, this is February 5th as I'm recording this, and I will be uploading this in the next 10 minutes so that I can still get up before the week is officially out. So yeah, we thank you for listening, as always. And until next week, everybody, I will